There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you on this Thursday, Friday Eve edition of the show. Lots to do today. Coming up in hour number two, my buddy and Army Major and Special Forces, Bryant Knight, is going to join me. A lot to talk about, but we will talk about Ukraine and some of the conversation he and I had the other day off the air. It's worth getting somebody who spent 2.5 decades fighting this nation's wars, 15 years in Special Forces, to join us to talk about that. That'll be in hour number two of the show. Also coming up at 12:30, Ray Melick from 1819 News. He does, you know, the editor-in-chief thing and joins us on Thursdays to talk about it. So that's coming up. And right now, as we get started with Midday Mobile, does it sound, do I sound weird? Weirder than normal?
Not really. Maybe a little bit of a...
Like, pretty much everything from my chin, let's see, my chin here to the top of my head is numb, is numb on my left side.
Well, that would be your face.
Yes, yes, my
face. From the chin to the top of your head.
Yeah, does my lip look like it's huge?
Not really.
It feels like
It looks maybe inflated a bit, but not,
it feels like it would weigh about 2 pounds. So, you know, watch this. When you go in, so I went to my dentist this morning. Great folks over at Noble Family Dental. Mm. And I did the old, I said this, and I know Chad there, and I said, you know, if we're going to, I got the old broken tooth thing, right? And then there's some other things. So if you've done this, hey, while you have it up, you know, we have the truck up on the rack, let's just go do a couple different things.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get it in for this.
Right, so let's
since
just,
I'm in for this, might
let's
as well.
Just do it.
Yeah.
That wasn't my best call. That was not the right call for today. I made that call.
Yeah.
And he said, all right. Well, less than an hour ago, I'm still in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
Thinking of your show that would be coming up very soon.
That and smelling the smell of my tooth being ground down. Oh, you know, that when you're like the little mix of smoke and burned tooth you're smelling there. So I was doing that. And you know, they give you the shot, right? They give you the shots there so you don't scream out in agony mm-hmm. when all that's happening. And it's still with me. So should be an interesting day mobile with the big lip.
The painkiller wearing off or
oh,
what
yes,
they gave
off.
You wasn't enough?
No, they gave me it was enough to do the work. But now that I still have the gigantic lip, it seems like it's almost big enough. It should be touching the board here in front of me. I have that lip, but I have the pain's starting to... It's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sure there.
That sounds like so much fun.
You ever had that where you're smelling your tooth being ground down? No?
No, I've never, as far as I can remember, unless the electric toothbrush gets a little crazy, a little
out
of hand.
You've never had them put in the DeWalt grinder
Let
in there
find,
and grind your tooth?
Where's the nearest? Is our board real wood? Because I need to knock on it.
Yeah, it is. This is real wood.
I've shocked you when I've said this before.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I've never had a cavity. Not one.
You know, it's people like you,
Dalton.
It's people like you that ruin things for other people.
And really, my dental routine, it's not like, you know, I'm not trying that hard to avoid cavities.
No, it's genetics.
I guess, but my entire family has messed up teeth.
Well, you got but here's the flip side. The genetics part, so I have two half-sisters, right, that I didn't grow, and they are... Beautiful women that take care of themselves, or you know, not the old you know redneck Sean Sullivan. They're you know they take care. I mean, they're and their teeth do the same. They just break.
Mm-hmm.
The teeth
break. So theirs do the same thing.
Yeah. Same thing. And they, you know, I don't know if they have all the same bad. I brush my teeth 3 times a day. I'm sure they do that or more. But I mean, the teeth just.
Yeah. I've had broken teeth, but it's been from, you know, external events, from baseballs and fists.
Yes.
But never any actual cavities or anything like that. I'm lucky.
I think you're lying.
Just know I don't take it for granted. I realize my privilege with my teeth.
You have teeth privilege?
I have teeth privilege.
By the way, some of the show notes I made on my phone there as I was smelling my teeth being ground down. not that we're going to get into this right now, but these are just things I'm thinking about. Should there be a lifetime cap for the number of times you can switch gender? Because those stores are...
How
many times should you be able to do... Is it like you get 5, you get 3... You get how many do you get?
One of the most absurd things to me is that there's a limit on the number of Social Security cards you can receive. Apparently,
right?
And I've nearly hit that limit because I mean they give you
got good teeth, but you can't hold on.
No, but if there's a limit on that, I mean,
so that's just a running side question.
Yeah.
That's going on just in my mind.
Have you seen some of these memes from the Supreme Court? Talking to this Ketanji Jackson, they looked at the last three nomination processes. And you had Kavanaugh, right?
Yes.
And it was
Amy Coney Barrett.
At the time for Kavanaugh, the line was "Believe all women."
Yes.
Because of the accusations, then Amy Coney Barrett came in, and it became
"But don't believe her."
Believe some women,
right? Not her.
And then now it's "What is a woman?" That's how quickly things have escalated.
Well, and that's kind of where I'm going with this, because at this point, if you can identify as whatever, because we have, you can't question what somebody identifies as. So could the next president say, well, no, I'm going to have the first so-and-so in there, and they'd be like, that's a dude.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, nah, that dude says today that they're a woman, so we're going to get them nominated, and then we're going to get them passed through.
Yeah, it's... I think, to actually stand strong on any subject, you have to have some kind of line. And for a lot of people, that's
really
just character or morals, or it's given to them by their parents or the church or something like that. But when you grow up like in a society where anyone can be anything or say anything, I mean, where is the line? And with the Babylon Bee, for instance, I know we talked about it a little earlier this week, but for their, and everyone knows that's a parody site.
Maybe satire site. Funny bunch of guys, actually.
Maybe 5 years ago they didn't. And The Onion, who they're modeled after, have said some pretty outrageous things if you look
at
it through that
lens. Which is how satire works. If you come in and do satire and don't say anything, like, if you just say basic things, then it's not satire.
Exactly. Okay. So Twitter actually looked at the appeal of Babylon Bee for, they were suspended because they jokingly said, Rachel Levine, is that the name?
Yes.
Former Pennsylvania, was it Attorney General or something? Not Attorney General. I can't remember the title in Pennsylvania, but a transgender government official who is now in the
Secretary
Biden
Secretary of Health.
That's right. And Levine was named the Woman of the Year, right?
Yes, was given, let's see.
I forget who it was. Maybe it was Time that gave her Woman Levine Woman of the Year. But anyway, Babylon...
Well, Twitter bans Babylon Bee after they commented.
It was USA Today. That's right. USA Today Woman of the Year went to this transgender health secretary in the Biden administration. So Babylon Bee comes out and says they are giving Levine the Man of the Year award.
Right. And Twitter, 2 awards in just a week.
And Twitter does to them what they did to New York Post for the very factual Biden 100 laptop Biden story.
Yes.
And Babylon Bee appeals and says we're a parody site. And basically the question is, where is that line? What makes this
fake news? It's not, I mean, you can't do anything like that on Twitter.
And so Twitter, they denied the appeal. And I guess when you live in a culture like that where anybody can be anything at any time, it's up to the rule makers to decide who's right and who's wrong, not what is actually factual.
So, all right. So you've got Babylon Bee kicked off there. Are they appealing to be back on Twitter?
They tried, yeah. And Twitter said no,
cannot be back on. By the way, Babylon Bee, pretty funny. It is satire. Yes, it's a satire site. And you know, we could go through the compare and contrast, you know, things that are said the other way as satire, you know, that gig conservatives or something like that. I don't want to shut them down.
Mm-mm.
I don't want to shut them down. You can either think the thing's funny or not think it's funny, and you move on. And
yeah. It's called having thick skin.
Yeah.
And if you can't put people to that lens, then you don't live in a free society like you think you do.
No, but we live in a society. Give me an update here on where we are with the $100 stimulus for the gasoline. So here's the idea, y'all. Because we're not going to drill, we're not going to take care of our own energy. We're going to pay more. Because I still agree. I agree with the banning Russian oil. I haven't changed on that. I don't want to go play ball with Iran. This Maduro thing stinks to me. So you're paying more for gas because for some reason we're not going to drill and refine, even though hopefully in 6 months we get to that point. So the idea is, okay, well, we're going to pay these high gas prices. The citizens are. And so we're going to send them stimulus checks to help pay for gas, mm-hmm. even though we're then spending money in a deficit to give money to people to buy gas versus drilling and bringing the actual price down, right? I basically have the idea.
You look at all the top news sites right now, and they all have editorials about how difficult it will be for the Fed to soft land this plane of inflation. And, and everyone's discussing how high to raise interest rates. And then at the same time, like
let's
said,
give people more money.
We're talking about firing up the old printer machine again and sending those greenbacks out to everyone once again, which that's a good question I had for you. What is the difference? Because I think I know, but I feel like I'm wrong, in suspending a gas tax in a state or federally, just suspending the gas tax or writing checks and sending them out to people for what they would have saved had they not used the gas tax, because it seems like a problem that could be, you know, fixed by just suspending the tax until things
get
back into order.
The federal gas tax. Because, you know, you have a combination of federal and state.
Right. But why not both?
Well, I will say this. On the state gas tax, there's projects already in the works, right, that are funded through that gas tax.
But you would have that money already, right?
I mean, you have the money.
I mean, I know they earmark certain projects and things like that.
Well, it's coming in all the time. You know, it's coming in all the time, funding these things. But at the same time, if you there's two reasons. There's a pragmatic and idealistic reason. Pragmatic reason is that you're going to have projects that are ongoing and you can't fund. The idealistic problem is if they rescind federal and state gas taxes. You know, first of all, very few times you ever hear a tax put in that comes off the books. Mm-hmm. Once it's there, it gets sticky. And they would worry in this case if they rescinded the gas taxes, federal and state, that they would have a very hard time putting those things back through. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, once it's gone, which is the most rare endangered creature ever, a tax that gets pulled off once it's in place, they would have a very hard time pulling back through. So in their mind, well, let's just give people money so they can continue with this habit of paying this tax.
I guess we're kind of seeing it with the student loan thing right now. You let everyone take off from the student loans, and they may never force never, back into action.
Never come back.
But there are polls out, and 73% of people that responded to a Politico Morning Consult poll support suspending the federal gas tax. 72% back doing the same to state fuel taxes. So, you know, very, very
well, listen, everybody
close
supports,
numbers.
Everybody who has some sense would support pulling back taxes, but you do have to balance that and say, okay, you're going to pull back taxes and rescind these taxes. But the other part of it is you're not going to get – this is the problem with our country. This happened with Democrats, happened with President Bush, one of my big issues there when he was like, oh, we're going to lower taxes and then we're going to make more free drugs for people. And these you can't do both. People love the candy, but they don't like the cavity, right? We're sticking with the theme.
Yeah.
And you would say, okay, well, we're going to rescind the gas tax. And then we're going to keep moving on with projects. No, no, no. Say, okay, we're going to rescind these taxes. We're going to, you know, put them on ice for a while. But here's a list of projects that are not going to get done. Are you cool with that? Well, no. We need the, you know, I need this road paved, or I need this extension here, or I need a bridge over a bay.
Yeah,
you know.
And I'm being totally idealistic in the way I'm coming about this. But to me, it's almost like, and I know a state isn't run like a household necessarily. We'd be probably in better shape if it was.
Yeah.
But if you keep giving a family, you know, $10,000 more per month than they need to survive on that month, and then 8 months later you come by and say, hey, we're hitting tough times.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I've been giving you that extra $10,000 a month, right? And the family says, well, actually, We have quite a few projects in the works.
Yeah.
The state of Alabama has been given more money, and I realize it's the cause of the inflation, but they've been given over $1 billion.
Right. Right.
But because these projects are already in work, then it's just a no-go. Don't even touch it.
You're saying to swap the money from ARPA money in to make up the shortfall that would happen with the gas tax if it was rescinded?
I think so, yeah. But that's why I say I think it's pretty... I know my view is simplistic.
Yeah, well, no, it's actually spot on that anyone, government, human being, anything, will spend to the level that they have. They'll change lifestyle to the level they have, and they won't be able to come back from that.
By the way,
my grandparents. They grew up during the Depression, but it's a different story.
Breaking news here. I know you want to hear before we go to the break. Okay. Ice tea, you know?
Yes,
hip hop, Ice tea, very... bad
also,
dude.
Yeah.
He was robbed at a gas station, he said, in New Jersey last night. He said, after my hands stopped trembling, I managed to call the cops, and they were quick to respond and calm me down. This is Ice-T. He said, my money's gone. The police asked me if I knew who did it. I said, yes, it was pump number 9. So, Ice-T even getting in on the gas tax.
That's good.
Jokes.
Good. Good. Like, Ice-T's now, like he can get retirement benefits and stuff. He's that old. All right. Coming right back. It's more Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:26, FM Talk 106.5. My man Dalton helping me through my convalescence here as I get my lip back.
How do you know you're even actually on the air right now?
No, probably not. They got a massage chair there, too, that you, when you're in the... I mean, I fell asleep twice during the dental procedure until I smelled the smoke. One thing, because I want to add this, too. Y'all check out the... online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We've been talking about this. They've been talking about it on the morning show as well. Former President Donald Trump withdrew his endorsement of Mo Brooks for Senate. I'll talk about that in a second with Ray Melick. With this news, would you consider voting for Mo Brooks? Right now, 67% no.
Yeah.
On this thing. So
I don't know if I'm more surprised that a third of the voters would still vote for him, or I guess that's not that surprising.
That doesn't surprise me at all. All right. And you said, hey, Sean, did you hear what California was doing on this gas thing?
Yeah, because you're the first I heard yesterday to bring up the idea that they would pay out every American because of gas taxes, because of the rise in fuel costs. Well, California, which... doesn't California on its own have like the world's fifth largest economy or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
They are planning on giving tax breaks, free rides on public transit, which I don't know what the cost for that normally would be, but also up to $800 on debit cards to help pay for fuel. Gavin Newsom, the governor of that state, put that proposal out yesterday. And you saw the governors of Maryland and Georgia, they suspended their state's gas taxes. Georgia also offered $1.1 billion in refunds to taxpayers in a separate action. And while California hits $5.88 per gallon yesterday, they have decided they want to spend a lot more money, or maybe print a lot more money. The idea is to give car owners $400 debit cards for up to two vehicles. They say about $300 per year on gas taxes. That's according to the governor's numbers he worked out there. The money would go to everyone who has a car registered with the state, everyone from the richest guy in California to the poorest guy in California.
You know, and the key to this...
Or girl.
Yeah, well, or
whatever.
Being, yes. They've got to keep this going, too, because you got to keep the economy going. And there is part of this. I would figure we would do that by drilling and providing our own energy and bringing the prices down. But even the liberals know that people have got to be able to drive and go to work and haul goods and do these things to make the economy work so they can get taxes from the economy that's moving to pay for everything else. So it's almost like catalyst and seed money to them. Although I got another way to do that. How about we let the market bring the prices down and people... But, hell do I know.
How would we drive the market down? Drilling for oil or
something? That's kind of crazy. But yeah, probably one of those. Ray Melling joins us coming up in just a couple minutes. He's with 1819news.com. And then my friend Brian Knight in hour number two of the show. You do not want to miss that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
1235 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Gorgeous out there, and ran through the tough weather earlier this week, and looks like we have a run of many, many days of beautiful weather, which is good stuff. Good stuff. Let's check in with our buddy Ray Melick at 1819news.com. How'd y'all fare up there from the storms?
Did okay, really. I mean, there was some, you know, water. Really, it's interesting is water levels in some of the lakes and ponds got really high and caused some damage and some high winds, but nothing like what you guys caught on the coast. And actually, you know, New Orleans, of course, wow. That was kind of a mess over there. And we're actually trying to get down there in the next week or so and call down there where we're going is fine. But that does raise concerns what you see down there on the coastline.
For sure. Before we get into our conversation about some of the top stories up, and a lot of them will have to do with the Senate race, I want to talk about this. I've known you in two capacities in our history, and now as editor-in-chief at 1819news.com. But I want to say congratulations, because a legend of Alabama sports writers. You've lived some different lives, Ray. Talk about this and you being named one of the 50 legends of the Alabama Sports Writers Association. Man, congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, the Alabama Sports Writers Association, their 50th anniversary, decided to name 50 legends. And there's some great names and people in there that are, you know, the Benny Marshalls and Alf Van Hooses and Naylor Stones, and you go way back and to a lot of history there. So it really is kind of a neat honor to be part of that. Sports writing and sports casting is what the bulk of my career was for 30 years. And I think we've talked about it before when the business kind of changed in 2010 and things were consolidating, and that's when I got out. So, you know, that brought me to the Gulf to work for BP for 3 years, and then I did government affairs for Georgia Pacific, and then I was the district director for Congressman Gary Palmer, and now back in the media with 1819 News and kind of wrapping up. This will, I think, will be my last rodeo, and kind of a neat way to go back out. But yeah, I was obviously flattered, and just some great people, and a lot of great people down in the Mobile area that have worked at that paper that have been recognized and will be as they're naming. Announcing these things, like I think one a day for the next, you know, for the month or something until we get to the June banquet.
Well, congratulations. And you named two that died this year that were on that list. Charles Hollis of the Birmingham News, that I know some about, but Cecil Hurt. Just the little bit of time that I was around him when I was at school at Alabama, I was lucky. I mean, just a punk kid there, and got to meet and spend time with Cecil and Eli Gold and these people. But Cecil Hart, not just a sports writer, he was like the Oracle at Delphi. The man knew something about everything. He was that guy was awesome.
Yeah, Cecil and again Cecil and Charles and a number of us, Doug Segrist, all kind of same age, same grew up and. I was the beat writer there starting in 85 or 86, and of course Cecil was there. Charles was the beat writer for the Birmingham News. So we traveled together. We competed against each other, but got to know each other. But here, the thing about Cecil, he always was reading a book, and it wasn't some light, you know, fluffy right. sports book or something else. It might be The City of Man by St. Augustine or Freud right. or, you know, something that you just go, what the heck, man? We're down here at an Alabama press conference, and you're over here reading Shakespeare. But really well-read, really, really smart guy. I was, you know, we lost both of them this year, and it really just tough losses for two really good guys that, as I said, I spent an awful lot of time for 20 years. We, you know, Thanksgiving tournaments and Christmas time at bowl games and NCAA tournaments and just, you know, almost as much time with them as I did my own family. And I'm glad they were both recognized and honored, and I'm proud to be in that list with them.
Well, congratulations, legend. Congratulations. Good stuff. Let's do this. Let's take you and I back. Just a couple months ago, and you and I'd be talking, and I would have said, hey, listen, right, here's what's fixing to happen, is that Congressman Mo Brooks, who has, you know, started this thing off as the lead horse in every way possible, will move to third position. Then former President Trump will pull his endorsement from Mo Brooks, and he will move, you know, to the bottom rung here in this Senate race. What would you have said to me at that point?
You know, really, just I'd have said you're drinking something. You're on a painkiller,
right?
Which I think you are today.
Yes,
anyway.
I am. Yeah.
But I mean, Mo had this thing. He was so far out in front. He had great name recognition. He had the Trump endorsement, and we'll talk about more about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But I just really think that, you know, he'd been slipping for a while, and I think part of it. I've known Mo a long time, and I'm not endorsing anybody here. I think that all three candidates have strengths and all three have weaknesses. But Mo's got a real congressional voting record of stands he's made, and I don't know that he really went around and informed people enough about that and hung his hat on the Trump thing. And when he began to slip, I think Trump decided, you know, I don't want to be associated with a guy that may not even make the runoff. And I think the whole saying Mo Brooks is woke.
I was waiting for that.
Nobody believes that.
What was your reaction? You know, when I saw that, I started laughing. I was like, really? Really?
Yeah.
Really, Trump? You could say a lot of things. You know, well, he's not doing this, that, or the other. I don't think he's campaigning hard. He's not going to win, whatever it is. But saying he's woke, I've known Congressman Brooks a long time, too. That's the last term I'd come up with for Mo Brooks, is woke.
Yeah. You know, anybody that knows him or just knows of him knows that that's absolutely not the case. But, and, you know, it's funny how he went from a guy that was being sued over the January 6th incident and all that mess that went on that day to suddenly Trump saying he didn't defend him enough.
Yes. How much more? You know, what more? Like, I don't get that either. I mean, this guy was, you know, taking the arrows for that, and he was saying it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I don't, you know, that, again, I really think it does go back to the fact that I think President Trump just saw him slipping for whatever reason. And, you know, let's remember, I'm not knocking a Trump endorsement. I think in this state or any Republican state, it's very valuable. But he's endorsed Luther Strange, he endorsed Roy Moore, and they all lost. So that endorsement doesn't carry quite as much weight in the state as people may think it does. I think Alabama voters are pretty independent. Nevertheless, it doesn't help to lose it once you have it. And I think that's something that we're already seeing. Katie Britt look like she's trying to court it. And, you know, Mike Grant's been a little more coy about it, but he spent a lot of time with him, too. So certainly you'd rather have it than have had it and lost it.
Wouldn't you want to, like, I'd like to take what you and I just talked about. Alabama guys, we know that, you know, those facts, and Alabamians do what they're going to dang well do, and go up to the D.C. consultants when they go, well, listen, to run your campaign, you have to not just agree with President Trump, but you have to, like, just use him, and it has to be Trump because those Alabama people love Trump, and they're so simplistic. Wouldn't you love to just talk to those D.C. consultants and say, well, what do you say about this sport, huh? What you think about these three things? I mean, it's frustrating that candidates will listen to the, you know, D.C. folks and do these things when you go, hey, man, just be an Alabama conservative and like Trump and just then tell us what you're going to do.
Yeah, I think we see that over and over. And, I know that's one thing. And having been peripherally involved a little bit with Congressman Palmer, mm-hmm. one of the things that he felt like was, you know, I'm not going to talk about other people. I'm just going to talk about what I can do or what I have done and what I will do. And that's what I kind of brought up about Congressman Brooks. I wish he had spent more time for his sake doing that. And I don't think people in Alabama are as simplistic as sometimes these Washington, D.C. campaign managers think we are. And I think there's a record here of people really looking at candidates and deciding for themselves. And I think, again, I'll go back to the Roy Moore thing as a perfect example. Roy, for whatever you may think of him, obviously there was a flawed candidate, and a lot of Republicans just didn't vote for him. Didn't vote for Doug Jones, but just wrote in other names and just felt uncomfortable with him as their guy. I think they fell short the political awareness of Alabama voters.
Yeah, now that we look at the front runners being Durant and Britt, it's not long now. I mean, what are we, within 60 days, 58 days or something of the primary? One of them is either got to break out or we're guaranteed that we're looking at a runoff.
Yeah, the interesting thing to me is I think there will be a runoff, and right now you've got to say it's going to be a Britt and Durant runoff. So the question becomes, will Mo Brooks people, will they just stay home and say, well, our guy's not in the runoff, we're not going to vote? Or do they coalesce around Mike Durant, who's also a North Alabama Huntsville guy and, more like Mo Brooks probably? Or, Katie Britt, I think, is getting ready to just really, I think her campaign is getting ready to spend a ton of money. I think Senator Shelby said he was putting in like $6 million into a PAC to support her. So I think we're going to get inundated for the next 8 weeks or whatever it is with Katie Britt material. So I think it's really getting ready to heat up between those two, and just to try to force that runoff, and then it's going to be courting the Mo Brooks people. Unless Mo can make a comeback. And again, I don't sell him short. A lot of people know Mo, and the people that like him are really loyal to him, but clearly the polls show him slipping and has been slipping for several months now.
Which, by the way, side note, I'll insert this in the middle of my conversation with Ray, that I think, I'm still back and forth on the phone, Congressman Brooks should be in studio tomorrow at some point on the show. I want to ask you this question here, Ray, before we wrap up, from the text line, because I think this is interesting. How much did January 6th hurt Bo Brooks? Because I'm going to say, let's say, and to that text, are you talking specifically with Trump or with his overall? But let's take it both ways. Do you think it hurt him at all, or what do you think?
No, I, in this state, I don't think it did. I think people here understood and saw the events of January 6th for what they were. Some people it would have, and I'm of the mind too that the Republican Party kind of needs to put that behind him and look forward, so Trump would not endorse me either. But I think I just don't think in this state, again, I think people that saw January 6th for what it was understand that the rally itself was fine, that the people that went into the Capitol were breaking the law, but I just don't think that really hurt Mo in a large way in this state. I think what hurt Mo was just the constant hammering about the Trump endorsement instead of getting out and talking about what he's done and how that will translate to what he can do in the Senate.
All right. Y'all want to read more about this and a whole lot more. 1819news.com. Ray, take it away. Tell them what y'all do over there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got the daily news site covering Alabama, 1819news.com. A slew of stories and the everyday fresh stories that I think are people want to read. We've also got podcasts. We've got 1819 News, the podcast. This Alabama Life with some great feature stories highlighting great things about Alabama, Alabama Unfiltered, and you can get those wherever you get your podcast, YouTube, Spotify, or go to our website, and you can sign up. There's a simple button. Put in your email. It comes into your inbox every morning by 7:45 with the top stories of the day, both locally and nationally. We hope you check it out at 1819news.com.
Ray, as always, I enjoy our conversations. Congratulations, and we'll talk again next week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Sean.
All right. There he is, Ray Mellick, 1819news.com. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile, FM Talk 1065.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 1065, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad to have you here. Hey, coming up, hour number two, my friend Bryant Knight joins us. Lots to talk about with Bryant, and we're going to talk about Ukraine and getting a discussion with a man with 25 years of service to our nation, 15 years with Special Forces, and a view on this that you need to listen to. So we'll be doing that here coming up in a few minutes. I'll give you a heads up right now. We're, it's always fishing season. It's always boating season around here. But for a lot of folks like me, it starts kind of coming up here in April, May. What have you done to get ready? What have you done to get the boat ready? I've told you about my friend Forrest over at Blue Water Yacht Sales, and I want to change his name. He's not going to let me because they've been doing this 50 years, but Blue Water Yacht Service, because what you can do is drop your boat off and get everything you should have done over the wintertime done right away. It's a now on Yamaha, they have 5-star Yamaha service. They have 100% Yamaha CSI. That's their customer service index. They got a master tech. There's only 4 master techs in our entire area. They've got that for Yamaha, but they work on all makes and models of engines. And right now, they've got their boating season special here where they're going to get the boat ready to go stem to stern. Or bow to stern. Any parts ordered, they can get those and get those put on the boat, and they can check everything beyond the engines. This is what I like. So you bring the boat to them, you just drop it off at Blue Water Yacht Sales, and they're going to do the engine work, all the pumps. If you have something that's not broken, this is what's cool too. If something's not broken, but they go, man, that water pump is sketchy, or something like that on the boat, y'all know what I'm talking about, they're going to call you and say, hey, do you want to replace this or not? Also, they're going to check the other pumps, bilge pumps, live well pumps. They're going to check your nav lights. They're going to check interior lights. They're going to check everything on the boat that would interfere with having a great day on the water, whether you go out just boat riding or you're getting ready for snapper season or whatever it is. You're going to get that confidence when you back down there at the ramp that everything is good to go. It's a guy I use, a guy you ought to use as well, Forrest Long over at Blue Water Yacht Sales. And let me add service to the name. Give them a call, 476-2699, 476-2699, or go to their website, bluewateryachtsales.com. Make an appointment, drop off the boat, and see what I'm talking about. All right, 1255. I got to get through some of these texts here, too, from this last hour. Yes, some solidarity, like people like Chris, Dalton saying he had never had a cavity. So he didn't know what that's about. Y'all, I've said he's lying for years, but the boy doesn't lie. My man Chris in Orange Beach says he feels me. He's been dealing with the same thing. A couple of y'all sometimes you just have to go get those teeth drilled on here. This texter who had said, how much did January 6th hurt Mo Brooks? He said, I haven't seen him campaign at all. You know, he's campaigned some by coming on radio stations like this. I would say this. He did a lot better. He's done a lot better grassroots campaigning than Mike Durant has. But Mike Durant has had so much more spending in ads. So Congressman Brooks would have ads. He's had ads on here a few times, you know, back in December, maybe a little bit into January. But his spending couldn't keep up with the Mike Durant ads or the Katie Britt ads. So he would do more stump speeches, going to meet a Republican club, something like that. So he has been doing that. But now it obviously is not. It's not showing itself to be enough. I don't know that this – I think the easy story here – and listen, we talked about it just a second ago with Ray Melick, and my friend Devin on the news was talking about it. We started talking about this yesterday, the day before. It's easy to just hyper-focus on Trump pulling his endorsement of Mo Brooks. And I can go – you know, I ranted yesterday that it's very strange to me because I'm one of those people that will go down with the ship, right? I'm into the loyalty thing big time. I think that's important. But for a lot of people, it isn't. And if it isn't important there, is it important if he moves that – the next thing, if it is not important that he pulls his support, his endorsement of Congressman Brooks, is it important when he places it somewhere else? Now, can I say this? I thought this morning, listen to Dan and Dalton talk about it. Can we use this term? Is it sloppy seconds when in a race you have somebody endorse one candidate, like in a Republican primary, then they pull that endorsement and put it somewhere else? Y'all remember that grown-up thing? Sloppy seconds? Is it a sloppy second endorsement for whoever gets it? So if Mike Durant gets the endorsement, which I think that's where it's going, just kind of reading tea leaves, but I could be wrong because stories are out how enamored former President Trump is with Wesley Britt. But if you get, or you get, is it, is the shine off it a little bit if you're the second person to get the endorsement in a race? Is it sloppy seconds? Just a question on the text line. Gary on the text line said, just watch Biden live. I was watching it there on our monitor. He called him a piece of something. No stones. I'm editing here on the fly, Gary. Avoids questions of serious nature. God help us. He went into just the clips I heard there. He went into some places where I don't know why he did that. You'd think you would have had a more if you're in Brussels, right? You're the president of the United States. We are on the possible edge of a world war. We have an active ground war in Europe going on. You should have a very refined speech and maybe not one that moved through some other like domestic issues and stuff. I'd have stayed out of that. Very much so. And you know what? Something we're going to talk about when we come back. I will say this, that we have stepped up and put a number on it. You've heard my conversations with Dr. Joe Savage about how many orphans that they've been bringing out of Moldova, ones crossing out of Ukraine and Moldova and trying to get them stateside. And I asked Joe on Monday on the show, how many should the U.S. bring in? His perspective is one thing. The United States came out today and said we'll accept 100,000 Ukrainian refugees and others fleeing Russia's invasion and provide more than $1 billion in new humanitarian assistance to the to those refugees. Talk more about that with my friend Bryant Knight next, right here on Midday Mobile.